Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, Ram Nation. We are back with another edition of DNVR Rams Live. I, of course, am Justin Michael, and we are breaking down a big-time 82-73 road victory over Air Force for CSU. Isaiah Stevens went off. He went full Zay mode in this, season-high 29 points. Really important dub for CSU's NCAA tournament resume. It was more about avoiding a bad loss than actually needing the win, and it's a similar position that they're in coming up on Wednesday in the Mountain West tournament. We're going to talk about all of that, how the seeding broke out. If you missed it, I have a couple of written pieces up on the website. Go check that out. I wrote a column on Isaiah Stevens after his big time game, just kind of how it was fitting for him to go off the way that it did. He really was so important in this one. But I mean, at this time, I think it's pretty much cemented his case as the GOAT. There should never be another Ram to wear number four again, probably on either side when you consider McKenna Hofschild as well. But I just thought he really kept CSU in it. I mean, Air Force was hot from deep to start. They went 6 of 8 from behind the arc in that first half. And it kind of felt like he just had stretches where he simply refused to let the Rams lose. I mean, really put his head down and attacked the hoop a couple of times, hit three massive three-pointers in the first half to kind of allow CSU to hang around and just kind of keep things at bay while the Falcons, like we said, were already really hot. You know, without him, who knows what happens in this game. At one point, they go down 10, you know, and he just has a huge spark there with back-to-back threes, and Clifford cashes one in, hits the floater before halftime. We'll talk about all of that, but I just loved his mentality in this one, and I've talked about it time and time again. There are moments where he's so unselfish to a default. He's so willing to facilitate for others that maybe he allows somebody to take a shot that's theoretically open, but probably less likely to go in because it's not him taking it. It's really the same dilemma you see with a guy like Nikola Jokic. I'm not going to, you know, beat the same drum that I've been pounding all season. I don't want to, you know, get too repetitive here, but I can't say enough about him and for him to step up in this situation and lead CSU to victory. It really says everything about the type of player that he is. I'm not surprised at all. I mean, what more would we expect from Isaiah Stevens at this point? Before we get too far into all this, I do want to shout out Maya Lesner. She won a national championship in shot put yesterday. Really cool. She's as dominant in her sport as any collegiate athlete in the country right now. I think she'll probably go on and, you know, compete in the Olympics and probably win a medal at some point. She's amazing. And for her to carve out this incredible legacy of her own is really cool because I can't even imagine the weight of having that last name, Lesnar. I mean, we all know it. I'm a wrestling dork, you know, Brock Lesnar. I grew up playing with her dad on video games. And that's a tough spot. You know, it puts a lot of pressure on you. Her dad was a national champion wrestler in his own right. I saw Kyle Neves post out how many, you know, father-daughter duos are there to win a national championship. I can't say that it's never happened before. I don't know, but I got to imagine it's not happened very many times, if so. But I just wanted to make sure that I shouted her out. I've made it pretty clear over the years I'm far from a track expert. I know that's kind of a niche audience, so I don't want to, you know, stumble over myself and kind of show my ignorance here. But you can see just watching her in the video that she's like in a league of her own. I mean, it just looks different when she does it. And, you know, it's amazing to see what she's gone on to do. We're going to talk about all this. I'm going to break down that win over Air Force. Going to talk about why, despite falling to the 7 seed, the matchup and the path in the Mountain West tournament is probably a little bit more desirable than it would have been if they were the 6 seed. I'm going to talk about why is now a great time to get rid of the unbalanced schedule, standouts, all of that fun stuff. I do want to shout out Breckenridge Brewery, the official craft beer of DNVR. Breck Brew has a beer for any occasion. There's no better way to watch a game than having an ice-cold Breck Brew in hand. They've been doing it for 33 years. It all comes down to their love and passion for making good beer made with 100% renewable energy. Try out some of my favorites, Avalanche Amber Ale. You can't go wrong with Funslinger. It's fun to say. It's fun to drink. You're going to have a fun time when you're drinking it. Check out the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. I also want to shout out the homies at Circle K. We know it's become a tradition for CSU men's basketball to hit up the gas station on their way home from a road victory. If you know you were in Colorado, Circle K is the one to hit up. They are everywhere, so it's easy to do. And what's awesome is you can get a free membership. It's easy to download. All you got to do is enter your email and phone number. You're going to be fully enrolled. I've done it. I've saved on my last couple of fill-ups 25 cents per gallon. You're going to save that on your first 5 fill-ups. So you are literally losing money when you are shopping, when you're filling up, if you're not doing it at Circle K. Your first 5 Polar Pops are free. Every 6th item on several things like pizza, frozen drinks, coffee, donuts, all that, you're going to get rewards. You can get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado Circle K's by texting DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to 31310. Message and data rates apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. Sign up with the QR code or visit www.circlek.com/innercircle for more information. All right, let's get into this here. I'm going to talk about the game itself. Obviously, monster performance from Isaiah Stevens. We'll dive into what CSU did well, what they need to clean up, all that fun stuff, everything you're used to. Real quick, I just wanted to give a Mountain West update. There was a lot to still be decided this weekend. I had kind of teased it over the last couple of days, so giving you an update of where we're at. Utah State, they won a crazy game over New Mexico to claim the league title outright. Unfortunately, some controversial officiating at the end. Jalen House tried to miss a free throw on purpose. You have to hit the rim, obviously. Didn't, not even close. The refs didn't see it, I guess. You know, the students came storming onto the court, and you know, I don't really think it would have made a difference in the end because New Mexico would have got technical free throws, and then you would have needed absolute chaos, like to steal the inbound and make a crazy shot or something like that. But as CSU fans know, with what Michael Morris did against Purdue back in the day, anything is possible in a crazy sport like college basketball. So it is just kind of a shame that another game has to be associated with poor officiating in this conference. It feels like just as consistent as the quality of play has been the poor, you know, quality from the officiating, the inconsistency. It's a struggle. I hope that the league being elevated this year kind of raises the profile and maybe it creates some higher standards. I know being a college ref is a tough spot. They're flying all over the country, but they've just got to figure it out. With Utah State beating New Mexico and with Nevada beating UNLV in a fun game, it means that CSU and New Mexico officially tie for 6th in the Mountain West. However, for seeding purposes, you can't both be the 6th seed in the tournament. CSU falls to the 7th seed. They will play number 10 San Jose State on Wednesday afternoon. I've talked about it before, but I like this. I like this spot. I'm going to get into the matchup. I think the chances of beating Air Force again, a second time this week, a third time this season, given how frisky they have been, that's a tough proposition. And I mean, ultimately, the path to a championship appearance or anything like that, it's obviously going to be challenging. But where CSU is at in terms of the NCAA tournament resume, you don't really need a win. You just need to avoid a Q4 loss. I'd much rather go up against San Jose State and, you know, take my chances with them. I'll get into that a little bit more. The one thing I wanted to say, just in, as far as the league goes, I am happy that they are going away from this unbalanced schedule. I think it's incredibly clear that it played a major factor in the standings this year. When you look at the KenPom strength of schedule right now, CSU played the most challenging schedule in terms of Mountain West play. San Jose State was second. New Mexico was third. I talked about it a lot in terms of the top seven teams. New Mexico and CSU were really who got screwed in the imbalanced schedule. They only played one game apiece against San Jose State and Fresno. I mean, that's tough. You know, you'd much rather miss out on games against Nevada and UNLV like Utah State did. But even, you know, top to bottom, you know, New Mexico and CSU, they were greatly impacted. They finish at the bottom of the top seven. That makes sense. The teams they're associated with in terms of KenPom strength of schedule, San Jose State, Fresno, and Air Force. San Diego State, they had the sixth most toughest, good Lord, getting tongue-tied there, strength of schedule. They obviously only finished fifth in the league. Utah State, they had the easiest strength of schedule. UNLV had the second easiest. Boise State, Nevada, Wyoming on the way up. Very reflective in the standings. And that's not to be dismissive of, you know, Utah State's accomplishments or anything like that. I want to take any ambiguity out of the process. And, you know, Steve Alford, after Nevada beat UNLV last night, he goes to the podium. You can see it. There's a video of it. Nevada Sportsnet. They do a great job covering all things Nevada out there in Reno. It's like, you know, congratulations, Utah State. You didn't have to come to Lawler. It's sour grapes for sure. And as a head coach, I don't know if that's the route I would have taken it. I probably would have tried to go the high road, even though, you know, behind the scenes, you'd be making those cases and, you know, frustrated about the way that the imbalanced schedule screws you. But, you know, going forward, I know San Diego State is going to fight it to the end of time because they don't have the same difficulties scheduling non-conference as the rest of the league. And I mean, even CSU schedules non-conference pretty well. But if the league is going to be this competitive, if we're going to have this much parity from top to bottom, it makes a lot of sense for it to be a fair slate for everybody. Everybody plays everybody twice. We, you know, determine the league champion that way. I think that's pretty reasonable in a situation where you're not a one or a two bid league. You know, it's not a situation where we're potentially hurting San Diego State or, you know, the other top brands in the Mountain West. You would hope that CSU would be considered one of those. Anyways, just my thoughts. I wanted to give a brief update on all of that. As far as CSU falling to the seventh seed in the Mountain West tournament, like I said, sixth in the standings, but you're seventh due to the tiebreakers. If UNLV had beaten Nevada last night, then because we tied against the Rebels, we would have been the sixth seed and New Mexico would have been the seventh seed. We basically had the opposite finish against the Nevada schools. You know, they got swept by UNLV. They split against Nevada, or other way around. You get what I'm saying? I'm getting it backwards here. Too many tiebreakers to go through. CSU split against UNLV and got swept by Nevada. New Mexico, they got swept by the opposite. I'm not even going to try and say it because I think I'm going to do it backwards again. I like that they ended up going against San Jose State on Wednesday. You don't want to overlook anybody. All these teams are very, very, you know, frisky in certain moments. And I don't expect San Jose State to lie down, especially given the relationship between Tim Miles and, you know, all these coaches on staff. It's deeper than just Nico Medved. You look at the relationship he has with Ali Farokmanesh, Joe Desiman. I mean, even the training staff. He knows all these guys. He's going to want to, you know, give them a run for their money. But I would just so much rather play them for a second time than having to beat Air Force for the third time. I think that Air Force, I mean, you look at their road wins. They beat New Mexico and UNLV on the road, both decisively. They legitimately have two of the top 10 most impressive road wins probably of the conference slate, maybe two of the top 15. I'd have to go through and actually verify it if I wanted to say that definitively. But, you know, I think they really get up in particular for this matchup with CSU. It makes sense. You're in-state. You get overshadowed very similarly to football. You know, they would love the opportunity to kind of play spoilers. And obviously they have hung really well against CSU the last couple times they played in the regular season. Two out of the last three have gone to overtime. This game was really competitive. We're going to talk about all of that, you know, as we get into the takeaways from this game here. But I just really like the situation that they're in. I know there are some cons as well. Maybe you'd rather play Boise State on Thursday than Nevada. Nevada looks as hot as anybody right now. I mean, that's a really tough matchup. They're playing high-level ball. Their shot-making is at a level and a consistency that I haven't really seen anybody else match, at least as of late. Utah State, I mean, what we saw with Darius Brown and that game-winning shot, talk about clutch. They've had some big moments as well. But I don't hate the chance at trying to get a little revenge for what happened in Moby. I mean, yeah, you probably let Jared Lucas get a little too clean of a half-court attempt off, but the Rams were in that game, obviously. They were in both games. Nevada had to hit shots at a really impressive rate in both of those wins to pull them out. You know, maybe we'll see if they can do it a third time, especially if CSU's in locked in defensively. I don't hate the spot they're in from that regard. Where it gets really tough is if you want to have like really significant aspirations, get the cart way ahead of the horse here. Look, it's hard enough to win three games in 3 days, winning four games in 4 days. It's not super realistic. It's never happened as far as this current format of the Mountain West tournament. Falling out of the top five really hurts you in that regard, and that's a bummer. If you make the semis on Friday night, you're going to play a late game that tips off, I think, like around 9 or 10 p.m. Mountain time. And then if you win that, your award is turning around and playing an afternoon game in the championship. It's frustrating. It happens every year. It's not like a situation that it would be uniquely unfair to CSU or whoever ends up in that spot. It's always been the case. Last time CSU made the Mountain West championship game in 2017, it was the same deal. They beat San Diego State on a late night game, have to turn around and play a really high level Nevada team the following afternoon. It is what it is. You're doing what you're doing for the TV spot. You get that primetime CBS game on Saturday afternoon, which is huge. I mean, especially getting it on Saturday instead of Sunday. But I don't hate the spot the Rams are in. You know, like I said, I can take my chances with Nevada. You know, the path is going to be tough no matter what you do. And, you know, at this point, I'd rather just, you know, lock down my spot in the NCAA tournament. And if they get a win on Wednesday, that should do exactly that. They should be good. Even right now on paper, they're good, but you add a Q4 loss or a Q3 loss, I'd have to look at what it is metric wise to the equation. And, you know, you're probably feeling pretty uneasy. I still think that they'd probably worst case be in a play-in game, but you open up the possibility for chaos. And we've been in that situation before. I don't want to compare it too much to 2015 because I think the resumes are completely different. When you look at strength of schedule, the high quality wins, all of that, the CSU team is in a completely different league when it comes to the level of competition that they faced on that team, you know, 10 years ago. But, you know, my buddy Aaron Harris, who I appreciate, he's keeping the comment section lively. I saw him post the other day on Twitter. You know, I think when you look at the college basketball world, they recognize what CSU has done, but do we really want to put our faith in the hands of the NCAA selection committee, which is, you know, that could be a bit of a gamble. So I'd really rather just, you know, kind of take action into our own hands here and get it done. If you can get one win, you're going to be firmly in the field, probably as like an 8 seed, maybe a 9 seed at worst. If you get a couple of wins, it could really raise your seed line, and that would be great. Obviously, again, you don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse here. Just get to the tournament and see what happens. No matter what your seed is, the possibility of chaos is always there. But, you know, we know what it's like when you are the winner of the 8-9 game and then you face a juggernaut of a 1 seed. It's kind of bittersweet if, like, you win that game. It's, oh, great, you get Houston in the second round. Man, they look, Houston and UConn, they look like wagons right now. Really scary what Houston did to Kansas yesterday. You just don't see the Jayhawks lose by 30 in a Big 12 game, even on the road. But Good Lord. Yeah, that's my thoughts as far as the impact on the Mountain West tournament. I guess we should probably get into the game itself. This win over Air Force. Real quick, I do want to shout out our friends over at Empire. Empire Today, they are the premier spot for flooring. It's awesome. You get the shop at home convenience. You get access to some of the best products around. And, you know, there are copycats out there, but they can't match what Empire brings to the table. They can't match their quality, their service, their speed. So what they do is they advertise low quality products that Empire, they're not even going to carry them. They're not going to promise you the lowest prices, because if somebody's doing that, they're putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in theirs. This is one of those premier investment situations. You know, you get what you invest when it comes to flooring, and their philosophy is to help you find what you need. They're not trying to overwhelm you with a million different options and substitutes. It doesn't need to be that complicated. What they leave out of the process is just as important, maybe even more than what they keep in. You know, they're keeping you away from the junk you don't want in your home. With their virtual floor designer, it's a great way to see how floors will look in any space. You can just snap a picture and instantly see how new floors will look in your room. Shopping at a big box store can be frustrating. You have to sit there and you're trying to wait to talk to somebody. You're trying to imagine, hey, what would it look like with my ottoman? You know, would this look good with the furniture? With the virtual floor designer, it's a great way to see. Schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can get $350 off when they use the promo code DNVR. Restrictions apply. See empiretoday.com/DNVR for details. I also want to shout out Fubo TV. With 140 plus lives, with 140 plus channels of sports shows, movies, and news, you can stream live TV from any device. You can watch the most Colorado sports for the lowest price, and you can start doing so immediately with a free trial. There's no contract, no cable, no hassle. Sign up and start watching. You get 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included, which, by the way, that's super clutch when you're a college basketball fan like me. You're trying to keep up, you know, you want to watch Duke, North Carolina, you want to watch all the Mountain West action. You can't do it all at once. I don't have the 14 TV setup that I will someday have. Knock on wood. Watch all your favorite college basketball, NBA, NHL, you name it with Fubo. Go to www.fubotv.com/DNVR. Sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. Aaron with a solid comment. Two quotes from Al Davis come to mind. Just win, baby. And damn, I wish I owned the Broncos. I love that. I love that. You know what I wish is? I wish my Broncos were no longer embarrassing. I'm glad that I have the CSU Rams to focus on, because as a season ticket holder and, you know, my family, we share them. It's pretty bleak at the moment on that side. I'm glad we can talk about March Madness. This is March. It is the best time of year. Like that little transition there as I get back on track. Air Force, man, they were red hot from deep. This game had a rough feel, actually. Funny enough, with how great Isaiah Stevens was in this one, a season high 29 points. Again, please go check out that column I wrote at thednvr.com. I kind of dive into just how impressive he is in terms of CSU's accomplishments, but also statistically speaking. I mean, he scored more points against Mountain West competition than any player in history. Only Jimmer Fredette has more total points. He's starting to reach a level of, you know, college basketball legend that is very, very rare. The kind of guy that you'll still see the jersey in the stands 20 years from now. But as we all know, should not see number 4 on the court again. Got to retire it, hopefully next season. Some of that will probably be dependent on, in terms of when the ceremony is, it'll be dependent on like what Isaiah is doing professionally, where he's playing basketball, and whether they can work it in. I like the idea that Kevin Lytle had on the pod the other day of announcing it during a football game in particular. I think it would be really cool to bring McKenna and Isaiah out if they could make it work during the CU game and announce they're retiring number 4. Just for the basketball programs, period. And, you know, the kind of juice that would put in the stadium in a big game like that. Not that they will need any juice for the Rocky Mountain Showdown. Anyways, all right, let's get on track. I've been all over the place. Isaiah, he was really the steady Eddie that kept the Rams in this one. I thought it would have been really easy to get roped into a three-point shootout. And I think that there were some really key stretches where CSU did make some big shots from deep. he had one about 5 minutes in that kind of steadied the pace. And then again, like they go down 10 with a little under 6 minutes left in the first half. Immediately cashes back-to-back threes. Then Neat Clifford's able to get a third one after CSU secures an offensive rebound. That was a really, really important stretch there. I just felt like Stevens always had a response. Like the Air Force made a lot of tough shots to their credit in this one, even with having to deal with some foul trouble with some of their stars. All these guys, I mean, Redis Pertritis was awesome. He's more of a slasher, and he gave Joel Scott some troubles down low, was really able to kind of work his way and establish his positioning and really just get some high quality looks. Gave the Rams a ton of trouble without him and his 27 points. Probably like a 20-point win with how CSU defended in the second half. But yeah, I thought Isaiah always had a response. I thought he did a really nice job of kind of picking and choosing when he's going to go into Zay mode, when he's going to be assertive and, you know, maybe a little bit more aggressive than usual. I know that you can't play like that for 40 straight minutes, but I do think if CSU is going to make a serious run, in particular in Las Vegas, and then especially the NCAA tournament, I just think it's very likely that there's going to be a stretch where, you know, it's going to be like, all right, this is going to come down to Isaiah for a couple minutes. Like he's going to have to kind of do his thing. And in this game, he refused to let them lose. And he just refused to kind of keep them in it until they figured it out and got it going. And Joel Scott in the second half, he did a great job of consistently drawing contact, of getting to the free throw line. Needs to knock him down a little bit more consistently, only 8 of 16. And he had been pretty good, actually, the last couple games. He had been closer to 70%, I believe, than, you know, the 50% he shot in this game, which is more like what he did in the non-conference slate. But I really liked the way that the veterans picked and chose their spots in this one. And I thought that between Joel down low and Isaiah doing his thing, it made it really hard for Air Force in the second half to, you know, kind of make any type of consistent run, because they couldn't string together multiple possessions without allowing points, whether it be a made field goal or, you know, a made free throw, usually only one made free throw. Cause like I said, it was a lot of one of twos at the free throw line. You'd like to see them make a little bit more than that, but you still made 22 in the game. You held an advantage in the paint. They did what they needed to offensively. And I wanted the Rams to dictate the tone in this one. I thought they did a great job. Anytime they had an opportunity to get out and run, push the pace, not allow Air Force to set up in their half court defense, they did so. And it was crucial because, you know, Air Force will make you work on both sides of the floor. They've got really solid talent in that top three, Bo Becker. And now they're having some younger guys stepping up. I was pretty skeptical of bringing Joe Scott back. He seems to be doing a pretty solid job there. Yeah, we'll see if he comes back, as Aaron says in the comment section. I hate to even say it, but they mentioned that on the broadcast. They were like, you know, if Pertritis and Becker and all these guys come back, they're going to be one of the more veteran teams in the league next year. I can't speak for these dudes. I've never interviewed them. I've never covered them other than, you know, when they're playing CSU. I'd be shocked if even two of those three are back, like Bo Becker, Pertritis. Those, they're going to have some significant interest. And what's got to be frustrating for a program like Air Force is it happens to them a lot. They had a couple of guys go to high major programs this past offseason. I think Pertritis is going to have some significant suitors, you know, in his DMs and, you know, kind of pursuing him. We'll see what happens though. Air Force guys, sometimes they're unique, you know, so maybe he's a little more committed, and maybe to him, he's certainly not an NBA player. I imagine he could play professionally somewhere, but maybe to him, it's more about the opportunities following his career. And he's just kind of, you know, trying to enjoy the ride playing college basketball. Who knows? That is a good team though. It's not a great team. It's not a team that, you know, it's going to look awesome on paper for beating them. But if you watch the Mountain West this season, you know that that's a group that can push you. And they're the second best 3-point shooting team in conference play. It was very evident in that first half. They cooled off significantly in the second half, and CSU sticking to their guns, continuing to attack the paint and push and not just settle and turn it into a 3-point shootout. It was huge. And it's why the Rams were able to, at a couple of times, even establish double digit leads. Did not hold it. my condolences to those of you that had CSU to cover the 10.5 Air Force while down 11 makes a shot with just a couple of seconds winding down that didn't impact anything other than those that were interested in the spread. I kind of laughed to myself when that one happened. It felt fitting given the way that this series has played out between these two teams. I felt like the game really kind of turned with about a minute and a half left in that first half. Air Force, they'd weathered the storm because CSU did a good job of battling back into the game. At that point, they had already had their 9-0 run with the threes that I referenced a few minutes ago. And they had kind of responded with a couple of threes of their own. And they're sitting there, they're up three. Neat gets fouled by Bo Becker. It was his third personal. He slams the ball against the court, gets teed up. Joe Scott ends up getting teed up as well. There were three technical fouls in this. Medved got teed up a few minutes prior. Nobody liked the officials. They were absolutely terrible. I believe Kevin Lytle looked it up and said one of the refs had only worked like 9 D1 games the entire year. So it's not shocking. As we already talked about earlier, the only consistency with this league is the quality play and the poor officiating. But they did a good job of kind of weathering the storm of adjusting to the whistle and, you know, not losing their composure the way that Air Force did. And they ended up getting to make 5 consecutive free throws, 4 by Zay. Neek went 1 of 2. Again, all these guys got to be a little bit more consistent at the charity stripe, especially in a closer game. But I mean, that really swung the door open. And, you know, Air Force responded again. And, you know, they take the lead before the half, but then Zay ties it with a really clutch floater, just vintage Isaiah Stevens on the runner. I think, you know, without that key stretch there, without the technicals, you know, Air Force, maybe they're able to stretch like a 5-6 point lead. Then they come out in the second half and they start the half with a 5-0 run. You know, who knows what happens if they don't kind of lose their composure there, but credit the Rams for taking advantage. And I thought that was kind of a consistent thing with CSU this entire game. Every time the Air Force made a mistake, CSU was right there to capitalize on it, whether it be an untimely turnover, you know, just going for the hustle plays. The Rams did the little things in this one, and they kind of out-executed Air Force as the game went on. They closed the game by making their final 10 field goals. So I love the killer mentality that they displayed. And what was really encouraging about that was it wasn't like it was early on in the half or early on in the game where Isaiah's kind of doing it all. He had 22 points in the first half alone. 7 different guys made a field goal for the Rams over that stretch where the Rams made 10 straight field goals to close it out. I mean, really, really impressive. We want to know in the comment section, all she wants to hear about is whether Thomas from UNLV is coming back. I think she has the thing for him. That is hilarious. Dean Thomas looks like a stud, by the way. Former 5-star recruit is playing like at UNLV. Very, very dangerous. It's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens in this Mountain West tournament. I think there are 7 teams that could legitimately win it, but I think that there are 8 or 9 teams that could certainly at least win a game or two and kind of make things interesting depending on the situation. And, you know, you want to build off kind of what you've done here these last couple of games. I think that for me, like the big takeaway from this is I loved the response in a NCAA tournament situation. You're going to have a cold stretch, you know, where you go 2-3 minutes without scoring. They did that a couple of times here, but they always responded, whether it was that 9-0 run in the first half, they had a 10-0 run in the second half after starting kind of slow. They didn't score for the first 2.5 minutes of the second half, actually. They had another 7-0 run to kind of push it to double digits late. Every time that, you know, they stumbled, they got back up, they found a way to get back in rhythm. And that's what NCAA tournament teams do. They lean on their veterans. They find a way to execute. They adjust to the whistle. They play within the flow of the game. And I think the Rams did all of that. Now, like I said, this isn't a win that's going to impress the masses. It's not one we're going to talk about like Creighton or anything like that. But at the same time, like, we know that this Air Force team can punch you in the mouth, especially if you don't come out and play your best game. They've already pushed this CSU team a couple of times over the last couple of years. They've gone on the road, and actually probably better on the road. This was a better home performance than we typically see from them. But big time win. I thought the offensive execution was great. Season high 66% from the floor. They went 21 to 24 from 2-point range. They really couldn't stop CSU in the paint. So it kind of became a hack of Joel Scott situation. And, you know, like he had some rough stretches, but ultimately did what it takes. Some of the other key stats, I thought Neat Clifford was huge on the boards. He had a team high 9 rebounds, also led the team with 4 assists. Isaiah, kind of surprisingly, and probably has more to do with guys and whether they're making shots, has not had a ton of assists the last couple of games. He did still have 3 in this one. Neek had 15 points, 9 rebounds, 1 shy of a double-double. With Air Force pulling down so many offensive rebounds, and that was probably my biggest complaint about CSU in this game, even when they defended a lot better in that second half, they were still giving up way too many offensive rebounds and second chance opportunities. Air Force had 13 second chance points in this. CSU did kind of get some of it as well. They had 10, and that was not surprising. Air Force gives up a ton of offensive rebounds. I thought it was a little discouraging just given that this Air Force team is not a very good rebounding team. That said, they also got a lot of weird ones where, like, they were just kind of, the ball bounced off of a deep three and it took kind of a wonky reflection and it ends up in the hands of an Air Force player. I can live with those. The ones that kill me are when you're just kind of soft down low and you know, you're giving up putbacks and stuff like that. There wasn't a ton of that. There were a few, but you know, they just want to clean it up a little bit. And I thought that Neek, as the game went on, did a good job of really just kind of taking things into his own hands and being like, enough of this shit, enough of these second chance opportunities. I'm the best athlete on this floor. Nobody can even touch my hops. Like, I'm just going to go up and high point it. Joel Scott, 16 points. He is averaging 16.5 and like 7 rebounds over the last 6 games. He has been awesome, playing some of his best basketball at the most important time of the season. Hope to see that carry on. Cartier hit a big 3 late. I still think he's kind of dinged up. He hasn't been playing quite as many minutes. He hasn't, even just the way he moves. Like, I think he's a guy who, you know, has really been through it this year, and he's just trying to tough it out for this team. But he hit a really important 3 late. Looks like a badass out there in the mask, by the way. A couple other individuals I want to shout out before we get out of here, before I wrap up with some final thoughts. The bench had 13 points, which was big. Jalen Lake, 3 of 5. Love to see that. He played a big 24 minutes, had a couple of assists, had a couple of nice defensive plays as well. Joe Palmer, 7 points, 2 of 3 from the field. He is like 2 of 19 from 3-point range since the start of February. At this point, I'm kind of guessing that's just, it's really not going to come back. It wouldn't shock me if he hit a couple of threes in the Mountain West tournament or the NCAA tournament or something like that. But what's been really encouraging to me with him and Jalen really is they're finding ways to impact the floor positively, whether, you know, they're hitting shots or not. And Joe had a couple of really big blocks in this one. His plays are loud, like his loose balls that he comes up with, his rebounds, his shots, all of that. It always feels like they're particularly timely. And a lot of guys, especially when primarily their impact is to kind of space the floor, knock down shots, be a you know, typical 6-man hustle, a glue guy, when those shots stop falling, you can really easily lose your identity. And it just becomes a situation where if your shots aren't falling, you're not really impacting the floor in a winning way. And what's been great about Joe is he's defending great. He's getting boards. He's dishing the rock. He's pushing it in transition. He's still going to die for the loose balls and all that. But now he's, you know, making big time blocks and joining the SWAT team. That's what it comes down to. You know, Zay is going to be Zay. He's capable of going for 29 in just about any game. Everybody else is kind of stepping up here these last couple of games. And it's great to see. You know, that's what you need. Team together, all the cliches and whatnot. That's all I've got. If you guys got any questions before we get out of here, I can hit them up in the comment section. But I'll be doing another podcast kind of previewing the Mountain West tournament. I'll get into my all conference picks. I got to dive into the numbers and all that. I don't have an official vote for the Mountain West basketball all conference team, but I'll dive into who I think it should be and kind of all that. It's going to be harder than ever. And I really sympathize for those that do have an official vote this year. There are 30 guys at least that could very realistically be deserving of recognition this year. And you've got 15 spots to do it between the three teams. So there are going to be a lot of upset fans across the league, no matter how this plays out. And the thing is, they're going to be right in terms of their guy being deserving. It's just a matter of fact, are they more deserving than someone else? And what's going to be even tougher is with the league being as good as it is and how much parity there is, you kind of want to have some representation across the board, but you also want to give it to the most deserving people. It's going to be a balance. So that's what I'm going to be going through these next couple hours. Make sure you keep an eye out on that audio only podcast. You can find that Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you listen to all of that stuff. Got a question here from Aaron. Let's get to some superlatives. Who is the most hateable player in the Mountain West this year? Well, I mean, it all depends on your perspective, right? That's an eye of the beholder type question. Who you root for is going to greatly impact who you think is the worst. For me, I think Jalen House is the best villain, but I personally enjoy him, and I think it's fun to watch. I think it's good for the league. He's probably a guy you could also say flops the most, which is your next question. but Max Rice is pretty rough on flopping. Jared Lucas, I love him. The dude's a baller, and he killed the Rams this year. He's really good at jumping into the defender and getting a foul call that way. That's just a part of basketball. But I think House inherently is the best villain because he embraces it the most and he leans into it. He's going to actively be flexing against the crowd and talking trash and John and all that. I don't think there are any teams like, I remember a couple years ago with Nevada and the Martin twins, like that team really wanted a lot of smoke with the opposing crowds. It doesn't feel like there's a team like that that's like top to bottom, just a group of villains, a group of heels or something like that. But I do think there's some players that kind of embrace it. We have another question. Which coach has gotten the most emotional this year? Oh, that's Leon Rice, I think, for sure. He's a very talented coach, and what he has done up there has been remarkable. He's a whiner, man. Dutch can work the officials pretty hard too. But with Dutch, it almost feels like Popovich, where it's like kind of, I think there's some strategy to it where, you know, if you just hammer the officials for five straight minutes, you're probably going to get a couple of ticky-tacky calls. I mean, Linder is a hothead. He's gotten teed up a couple of times. Even Medved's gotten teed up a couple of times this year. But I think that that speaks to the poor officiating, that we have all these really quality coaches ready to rip their hair out and, you know, kick a chair. I don't know if I've seen anybody kick a chair this year, but if I had to determine who was the best at it, just going off, I think Linder. I think it's got to be Linder. He's kind of scary. Like I really would not want to be a waiter that messed up Jeff Linder's order, or like the guy at Enterprise Rent-A-Car who has to tell him that, you know, he booked the wrong reservation and he wanted a Suburban, but he's going to get an Acura or something like that. Oh, apparently in the comment section, Brian Dutcher did at CSU. He kicked a chair. He's an emotional guy, but I'll be honest, I think I just like him. I think I'm just biased. So it's one of those, like when a player you like whines, it's like, yeah, of course he's justified. And when a player you hate whines, oh, look at this crybaby. You know, Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, depending on which side of the argument you're on there. You know, again, it's all the eye of the beholder. If you're going to be out in Vegas for the Mountain West tournament, I would love to hang out with you guys. It's going to be a blast. I think the basketball should be as high level as it's ever been. I really do think there are seven teams that could win it. And maybe that's a cop-out just saying these top seven teams could win it. But it's going to be awesome. Final question before we get out of here. Aaron wants to know who has the best hair of any player this year. Man, I wish I would have prepared for this one because I want to give it the respect that it deserves. I mean, Joe's got good hair in the headband. It looks solid. He's a handsome guy. Trying to think if I saw like any cool, unique haircuts this year. Neek looked like a badass with the braids yesterday, kind of pulling out the inner Roddy. Yeah. Andrew Meadows of Boise State is worst in honorable mention. He's He's got some flow. The rec specs with the flow combination is a choice, but I think he's got a really bright future. All right, that's all I've got for today. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. I appreciate the lively comment section. Shout out to everybody for supporting the content. This has been a blast this season. I cannot wait for the postseason. I'm going to give you guys as much written content as I possibly can. We're going to have live shows every day from Vegas, probably from the NCAA tournament site as well, as soon as we figure all of that out. But I'm really going to go ham. I mean, I'll be honest, with all the live shows and the podcasts and travel and the stuff, I don't get to write as much as I truly would love to. It's just, you know, we've got so much other stuff going on. Writing in my heart, at my core, it's really what I'm the most passionate about, and I have so much fun doing this show. But it's gonna be really cool, like the opportunity to kind of document this postseason run and, you know, capture the moment for these vets who have been through so much. I think there's a lot of unique stories on this team, and I'm just really looking forward to it. And I think it's going to be a blast. So buckle up. You know, we have no idea what's going to happen. You know, I said it a million times, but UConn, after stumbling in the Big East, losing like 6 or 7 games in the Big East last year, we saw what they did in the NCAA tournament. I'm not saying this team is UConn. I'm just saying, when a team proves what they're capable of in the non-conference slate, if they have a couple of stumbles in a really impressive conference, which is certainly what the Mountain West is, don't completely write them off. And I think when you see the type of performance that Isaiah had against Air Force, it's a good reminder of, oh yeah, he's still him. This team is still pretty damn talented. And when they defend at a high level, when they're able to dictate the pace and get out in transition, they're really, really tough to stop. If this team can just hit threes at a slightly higher rate come, you know, next week, I guess. I keep wanting to say come March. It is March. This team could really be cooking with gas, could really be dangerous. So we shall see. I can't wait. I know you can't either. I'm always proud to be. Much love, y'all. Peace.
Khakis wearing graphic tees, feeling way too trendy. Raps that kill, oh, I'm deadly. Primed and ready like machetes at a deli in New Delhi. Feeling scummy like Martin Scorsese. Turn jam into jelly, then drink it like juice. But water's the truth, so I sip on that too. Skinny looking kid with no car keys, like the only thing I drive is RC RVs. Got the stash like Steve Harvey. Oh, I'm gnarly.